Good morning. Today I'm going to report to you the results of a study that looked at rural and urban differences in public health emergency preparedness activities that were derived from the 2005 NACHO survey. I must say that I learned I was presenting this paper about 3 days ago, and my first disclaimer is that Jim Bellamy uses words that don't normally flow from my mouth, so if I pause a little bit, I apologize in advance. My colleagues are James Bellamy, who is a graduate student working on a PhD in health systems research, and Dr. Glenn Mays, who is chair of the Department of Health Policy and Management at the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences. I would also like to say that I have no conflicts of interest to disclose. In the years following the terrorist activities of 2001, federal, state, and local government agencies, as well as private organizations, have endeavored to increase the U.S. ability to prevent, detect, and respond to public health emergencies. National public health infrastructure is an important component of emergency preparedness, and local public health agencies play a vital role in this process. This study seeks to describe the emergency preparedness activities of local health departments as a function of their geographic designation, that is, rural, urban, and suburban. The 2005 National Profile of Local Health Departments was the data source for the study. Its purpose was to develop a comprehensive and accurate description of local health department infrastructure and practice. That's a quote. The survey was performed by the National Association of County and State Health Officials, NACHO, in collaboration with the Centers for Disease Control. The 2005 effort was the fourth in a series. The core questionnaire was sent to all 2,864 local health departments. 2,300 local health departments responded for an overall response rate of 80%. And if you want more information about the survey, I direct you to the website, the NACHO website, and its link is on the bottom of that particular slide. Now, this slide is actually from a presentation on the NACHO website. Everybody in the room probably already knows, but I thought I'd review. A local health department can be a unit of local government or a unit of a state health agency. Overall, approximately 80% of local health departments are units of local government, and 20% are units of a state health agency. Further, you probably know the population of the state is not related to the number of local health departments. States with relatively small populations, such as Kansas, Missouri, and Iowa, have many more local health departments than populous states such as California and Florida, New York. And then finally, there are a number of states that use both types of governance. That is, those are the states shown in yellow. And in those states, most of the local health departments are, in fact, units of local government. But they're in the large cities, they have health departments that are actually, in the rural areas, they're components of the state government, and in the large cities, they're actually locally controlled. Okay, among the 735 variables in the core data set, so there are lots of potential explanatory variables. The questionnaire asks the following question: which of the emergency preparedness activities, which of the following emergency preparedness activities has your local public health agency conducted in the last year? Check all that apply. The emergency preparedness activities were developed or updated a written emergency plan, reviewed relevant legal authorities, participated in drills or exercises, assessed emergency preparedness competencies of staff, provided emergency preparedness training to staff, participated in an actual public health emergency, and of course none of the above. The items shown in blue are what we've described as discretionary. Obviously, the one shown in red at the bottom, local public health agencies don't get a choice in whether or not they actually participate in a local public health emergency, and we call that non-discretionary. Okay, as I've already said, the purpose of the study was to examine the factors related to the local health departments performing the stated preparedness activities. Because there was little evidence in the literature, in the public health literature, on the determinants of public health emergency preparedness, the theoretical models and foundations were taken from traditional literature and from the general public health literature. We created dummy variables for rural location, suburban location, and urban location. In the final specification, the rural variable comparing rural location to their urban and suburban counterparts was the variable that we left in the model, or that stayed in the model. This is because the literature does show that rural workforces are less likely to have formal public health training, rural workers are more likely to be employed part-time, and in rural areas, there's a more narrow range of public health knowledge from which to draw. Funding and staffing were also hypothesized to impact emergency preparedness activities. We know that federal funds account for upwards of 85% of some local health department budgets, and certainly staffing levels impact the availability and quality of services provided by local public health agencies. Unfortunately, these two variables are very highly correlated. And so in the final specification, we actually used a log transformation of expenditures per 10,000 population. Again, bioterrorism funding by the Centers for Disease Control was hypothesized to impact participation in public and prevention or emergency preparedness activities. Because of multicollinearity and the continuous variable in some of our specifications was represented by two dummy variables, and the first being one where local health department are for representing those health departments that receive less than $1,000 in CDC funding, and then omitted the middle group, and then the other dummy was for those local health departments that received $100,000 or more. And we included percent African American to detect the influence of ethnicity in the local population. The emergency preparedness activities variable actually had six missing values, so many of the results are based on 2,294 local health departments. 912 of these, or almost 40%, were classified as rural, 458, or 20%, as suburban, and 924, or approximately 40%, as urban. We also created a dependent variable in the number of discretionary activities that the local health department participated in, 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. 72.5% of the local health departments actually participated in four or more of the preparedness activities, and these local health departments actually provided services to 92.1% of the population. So, in fact, most of the population is covered by local health departments that do a number of preparedness activities. 73% of the local health departments received bioterrorism funding. Of these, 43% received less than $1,000. 33% received $1,000 to $99,999, and 24% received $100,000 or more. In addition, I should state that 17% of the local health departments also received bioterrorism funding through HRSA. Although in the final model, many models included that variable, but in the final model, it was not included, and I can talk about why if there's a question. Okay, bivariate results. While the vast majority of local health departments developed or updated a written emergency plan, rural health departments were less likely to have done so than their urban and suburban counterparts, and these differences were statistically significant at a chi-squared level of 0.01. Similarly, approximately 65% of local health departments reviewed relevant legal authorities. Again, rural local health departments were less likely to have done so than their suburban and urban counterparts. Geographic classification showed no significant differences in the local health departments who had participated in emergency preparedness drills or exercises, assessed emergency preparedness competencies, or provided training. Overall, 92% had participated in drills or exercises, 71% had assessed competencies, and 87% had provided training. Finally, rural health departments were less likely to have actually participated in a public health emergency. Those percentages were 26.9% compared to 38.7% compared to 46.8% in the urban areas. And I should say that only 55 local health departments, or 2%, reported that they didn't do any of the emergency preparedness activities. Looking at other descriptive data, on average, rural health departments receive significantly less bioterrorism funding from the CDC, $40,752 on average for the rural, $86,200 approximately for the suburban, and $342,425 in the urban areas. This pattern was also observed for the HRSA fundings. In order to meet some of the assumptions of the model and to avoid multicollinearity, some of the multivariate models included the log transformation of the CDC emergency preparedness funding per 10,000 pop, and others, this effect was assessed through dummy variables representing the presence or absence of low or high funding, or the presence or absence of HRSA funding. Geographic areas were not statistically different with respect to the percent African American, but you will see, just looking ahead, that is actually a significant variable or predictor in the multivariate logistic regressions. Finally, as most of us know, rural areas do have more full-time equivalent employees per 10,000 population and greater expenditures per 10,000 population than their urban counterparts. I'd also like to point out there are some authors have also included, who've looked at this data set and emergency preparedness, included the presence or absence of a BT coordinator, bioterrorism coordinator, in their specifications. My colleagues and I felt this variable was endogenous and chose not to include it in the model. Okay, this slide shows the regression results. You're going to see it five more times, just highlighted slightly different, so I'm going to move on to those slides. From the bivariate relationships, we expected the coefficient on the rural dummy variable to be negative and significant for write or updated a plan and reviewed legal authorities, negative but insignificant for participated in drills, and for assessing workforce competencies, and finally positive for actually providing workforce training. In the multivariate models, these hypotheses were only partially observed. Rural health departments were significantly less likely to have reviewed legal authorities and more likely to have provided workforce training. The asterisk on that variable is actually my cue to remind you that the rural variable was insignificant in this particular specification, but in others where we included the urban dummy variable, which meant comparing urban to suburban and rural, it was significant and negative, which means that it was positive if you were looking at it from the other direction. This just highlights the ethnicity variable. Rural and suburban areas were more likely to have, the ethnicity variable is mostly positive and significant, is what all I wanted to say about that. In terms of expenditures, and this is their budget per 10,000 population, again, it was positive and significant. The more money, the larger your budget, the more likely you are to have participated in activities. That's kind of a no-brainer. And the impact of HRSA funding is highlighted here. And again, remember, controlling for other variables in the equation, CDC bioterrorism funding had the hypothesized effect. The dummy variable representing less than $1,000 worth of CDC funding is significant and negative. The dummy variable representing more than $100,000 or more of CDC funding is significant and positive. Now, that's the study or the data from which we wrote the abstract. But I point out, if you look at the line at the bottom, it's the non-discretionary emergency preparedness activity of actually participating in an emergency. And along the way, we ask ourselves, is that a dependent variable or an independent variable? In other words, does actually having participated in a public health emergency make you more likely to have done the performed the discretionary emergency preparedness activities? And guess what? The answer is yes. If you look out on the column on the far right, that's the variable. It is positive and significant, and it actually makes other variables that were insignificant in the previous models become significant with the signs we had hypothesized. So sometimes it's what you learn along the way, or what you think about along the way, rather than what you thought you were going to do when you started the project. Okay, in conclusion, while the results did not match some of our a priori expectations, there are rural-urban differences. Rural local health departments were significantly less likely to have reviewed legal authorities and less likely to have participated in drills. And rural local health departments were more likely to have assessed workforce competencies and significantly more likely to have participated in training. The other significant variables were funding, both budget and CDC bioterrorism funding, ethnicity, and participation in an actual public health emergency. Thank you. I would now, well, actually, we're not taking questions, so we're going to take them at the end.